morning, y'all. Welcome to Flint Hill Baptist Church. If you will, join.
The great warriors
Good morning, Flint Hill Baptist Church.
Morning.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Well, first of all, you need to know our group has made it to Puerto Rico. They are safe, and they got there last night or yesterday afternoon. They're getting settled in. Today, they will be at the church where they're going to be doing VBS, and also they'll be visiting the construction sites that they'll be working at. So they've got a busy day, even on a Sunday, but we're just glad that they are there safe. Please pray for them this week. Keep them safe and the heat. Actually, they said it was going to be cooler there than it will be here. So, but we're so glad that we can send more out. We also have one joining the VSO, another Victory Sports this week too. So we are a busy, busy church about God's business. This is the last reminder that next Sunday is the deadline for the backpacks that are going for the Appalachian Ministry. Those backpacks are in the fellowship hall, and there's still a few that need to be filled. So if you have a chance and you'd like to run by and grab one or two, that would be awesome. In your bulletin today, two things. If you're a visitor with us, we'd love to know that you were here and that you were with us, and you can just use this tear-off piece to do that, and just leave us your information. We're not going to come knock on your door or anything, but we'd just love to know that you were here. You might receive a card from us. And then, church, you know that if you need to leave us a message, that's a great place to do that. But in your bulletin, in the middle part, our nominating committee has placed their announcement. We have the nominating committee is looking for new people for the coming year. You do need to know that the ministry for men's ministry has been filled, the security team has been filled, and the personnel team has been filled. But the other ones, we still need people for those, and we also need to add one, and that would be for finance. So if you're good with money, that's your spot. All right. We are just so very thankful that you guys are with us today. You're in for a real treat. Today we have the privilege of having Mr. Dwayne, and is your wife with you today? His wife is Jeannie Ohlstrom. They live down in Spartanburg, and so he got up early to join us this morning. They served as International Mission Board missionaries in, I never say this correctly, Myanmar, and in Thailand. And they currently are continue to serve missionaries through training. And it's our privilege to have you with us today. Thank you so much for coming and making the trip. We surely appreciate it. In Pastor Wayne's absence. So, did I miss anything? Anybody? All my peeps are quiet this morning, so I guess I got it all. If we could just take a few minutes and prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Our scripture for this morning is taken from Acts 1, 6 through 8. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come into your house to worship you today. We thank you, Lord, for those that have gone on mission to Puerto Rico this week. We pray that you would bless them, protect them as they work from day to day. Give them opportunities to share the gospel with those around them, dear Heavenly Father. And may they see those some come to know you as Lord and Savior. May this be a motivation for each one of us, Lord, to be about your business here at home. And may we take advantages this week of the opportunities that we will have to share your word and the message of the good news with someone around us this week. Lord, just bless us, guide our speaker this morning, dear Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, as he brings your word to us today. And speak to our hearts, Lord, that we may go out more motivated to doing those things that you would have us to do for you this week. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Folks, stay seated and feel free to sing with us, Song to the Nations.
Thank you. Thank you for this part of the service where we can give back to you just a portion of what you've blessed us with. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. And we pray that we will live lives that be more obedient to your will and that we will show your presence in everything we do. We pray that you will bless both the tithe and the giver, that both will be used for your service. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
About my Jesus, oh, he makes a way. from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change the world. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Welcome Dwayne Ostrom to the pulpit for our sermon today, if you will.
Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me in the back? All right. Well, I'm used to teaching around pigs that are rooting in the sand and birds flying over my head and all of those things. And so I just want to make sure you can hear me. I can increase my volume quite a bit if I need to do that. Well, it's wonderful to be here. I drove up from Spartanburg this morning just so I could be here. Left at 8:30 to make sure I got here in time in case I got lost or had a flat tire. I just love preaching in churches like this. I like to tell you what God is doing. I find many churches in America are discouraged. They think our attendance is down, nothing is happening, God is not at work anymore. But I can tell you that God is at work around the world in unprecedented ways. Did you know there are more Muslims coming to Christ today? More Muslims have come to Christ in the last 40 years than in the previous 400 years. God is at work around the world. He is calling men and women, boys and girls to himself, and your IMB missionaries are on the forefront of doing that. Let me tell you a story. Lorena came to us as a retired school teacher. She wondered, what can I do to serve out my days? What can I do to be productive? How can I serve the purpose of God in my generation? And so she went to the IMB and she said, I'm a school teacher. This is my experience. Do you have any need for that? And they said, oh, yes, we do. In fact, in Thailand, we have need for someone to care for a special needs child and to try to help them in their education. And Lorena said, okay, I'll go. And so she left. Spent 2 years working with that family in Thailand and helping that young man kind of get ahead in his education process. And then she heard of a need in bordering Cambodia, and so she went over there and lived with a family for 3 years, helping tutor those missionary children. And finally, when there didn't seem to be any more needs in the area, she wondered, what could I do? And so she sat down with the leadership in Thailand, and she said, do you have any place for me here? They said, by the way, how would you like to teach English as a second language? Well, she said, I can do that. And so Beverly joined our English teaching program in Bangkok, Thailand, where we teach thousands of Thai every year in the concept of just written and spoken English. Well, it wasn't very long before she became one of the most popular teachers. All of the young ladies just flocked to her, to Lorena, and she was just teaching them. Now, she is teaching English via Bible stories. So she is introducing Buddhist young women to the idea of God, because they have no concept of God in Buddhism, and she is introducing to them the name Jesus and all that he did. Incredible. And pretty soon this one came to faith in Christ, and then another one over here, and then another one. Well, the years rolled by, and Lorena came to me one day, and she said, Wayne, I'm going to have to retire. She said, I'm 88 years old. It's time for me to go home. Well, we gave her a big send-off, and off she went home. Well, 6 months later, I'm walking down the street in Bangkok. Lo and behold, there is Lorena. I said, Lorena, I thought you retired and went home. Ah, she said, they think you're too old to do anything back there. So I came back here. And so she fit back into the English teaching program in Bangkok. And she continued on for a while. And finally she came to me and said, well, Duane, it's really time for me to retire. And so we had a send-off for her again. She went home at age 94. Wow. What's your problem? You see, we can serve the purpose of God at any age. God has things for us to do. God is calling the nations to himself, and God is saying we are to be part of that. We are to serve the purpose of God in our generation. Now, the text I've chosen this morning should be of no surprise to you from Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. It is, of course, speaking of the resurrection of Christ as Paul is preaching the gospel message. But these are Jews to whom he is preaching the message, and so he reminds them of David and how David fit into the plan through which the Messiah would come. And this is what Paul says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. Do you know, we only have this life to serve the purpose of God. We cannot serve it for the past generations, can we? We can't serve it for the future generations, but we can serve the purpose of God in this generation. And Paul specifically cites David as a man who served the purpose of God in his own generation. Now we can think of things that David did. David received from God the great Psalms, and he wrote them down so that even you and I today can be blessed by them. David led the nation in battles against the Philistines and the heathen armies. David established Jerusalem as the capital of the nation of Israel. David led the nation in worship. And when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he led in the praises to God by saying, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples." Perhaps one of the things Paul had in mind here is that David proclaimed the glory of God not only to the nation of Israel, but to the nations of the world. David served the purpose of God in his generation. Did you know that last year your IMB missionaries serving the purpose of God in their generation reached 600,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world? Did you know that they baptized 108,000 new believers? Did you know that they started more than 23,000 new churches? They're serving the purpose of God. People that you have sent, ones you are praying for, those to whom you have given money so they can be there, they're serving the purpose of God in their generation. And God is blessing all that they're doing. Now I want to remind us this morning of the purpose of God. What is the purpose of God for this time? What is the purpose of God for our generation? Well, we could cite a lot of things, couldn't we? Raising good families, being a witness for Christ. Lots of things we could mention. But Jesus said, there is one thing that I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the purpose of God in this generation. You might be a businessman, a professional, you might be a pig farmer, you might be a plumber. No matter what it is, God intends for us to serve his purpose, and that is making disciples of all nations. And one thing I've discovered since returning from the mission field is the nations have come to America. In Spartanburg County alone, we have over 100 countries represented. No telling what it might be here around the Charlotte area. Nations have come to us. Indian people have motels. Thai and Laotian people have restaurants. Indian people are in professional situations. I mean, all around us, all the nations have come. And God says, maybe you haven't been called there, but you certainly can do something here, serving the purpose of God in our generation. In fact, Paul declared, I am obligated. I am bound by duty, said Paul in Romans chapter 1, to both the Greeks and to the non-Greeks. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who also are at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, that Muslim, that Hindu, that Buddhist, that animist, anyone who believes. And the gospel bus is moving across the world today. David served his own generation. He served the purpose of God in his own generation. And by the way, the word serve means to row. To row. Think of a boat. You're sitting there and you're rowing. You are moving the boat toward the destination that has already been chosen. God said, my purpose in this world is that every man and woman, boy and girl, will have an opportunity to hear about Jesus and be saved. And to that end, we are rowing. We are rowing across this world in the great gospel bus. We are serving the purpose of God in our generation. So what does missions look like? What does missions look like? Well, sometimes it's rather humorous. Really, sometimes it's just downright funny. 1973, I was standing on a sandbar in the middle of the Rio Chimure River, the Amazon of South America. We were there to contact an uncontacted tribe, which we did. I'm standing on the river bar with my limited Yuki language. And as often happens in that part of the world, the sun just seems to drop around 5:30 in the afternoon, and it comes up about 5:30 in the morning. And so I'm standing on the bar with Yabia and Garakia. The sun is beginning to go down over those massive trees. The moon is beginning to appear, and I said to them, I said, did you know a man walked on the moon? No. I said, they did. I said, a man walked on the moon. He walked on that. No. I said, yes, he really did. Why are you lying to me, they said. You always told the truth before. Why are you lying now? I said, chik, tikyato, chikyato, abat, papagwatsu, chepome, chik, abati. I said, it's true. It's true. Man walked on the moon. We don't believe you. I said, why don't you believe me? It's too small. You can't walk on that. Sometimes it's just funny, right? I was visiting a Buddhist monastery in the country of Myanmar. All these novice monks. Now understand, in these countries, these young boys didn't choose to go to a Buddhist monastery. Their family could not afford to feed them, and so they go there. It's how society takes care of these children. And so I'm in this room with probably 300 of these little young boys just all sitting around. And I'm talking to them about America and trying to teach them some things about what it's like to be outside of a Buddhist monastery in the world around you. And I would talk about God a little bit here and there as I was able. And finally, I said to their group, I said, now, where do you think I come from? Dead silence. I said, where do you think I come from? One little boy finally pipes up. He says, mister, you ain't from here. What an opportunity to talk to young boys in a Buddhist monastery who didn't choose to be Buddhist, but they were born into a Buddhist. Did you know if you had been born where they are, you would be Buddhist today? Did you know that if you were born in Saudi Arabia, you would be Muslim today? They didn't choose it. That's what they were born into, and that's what they know. It is only the only culture the only worldview they have. And only the gospel can break through in places like that. Driving in a taxi cab one day, across the front of the taxi cab, all of these things the monks have blessed the taxi cab with to keep the driver safe. And as we're driving along, I say to the taxi driver, "Now," I said, "are you Muslim?" "Oh, no, no, no," he says. "Buddha, Buddha, Buddha." "Oh," I said, "that's wonderful. So you're Buddhist?" "Yes, I'm Buddhist." I said, "Why are you Buddhist?" "Because my family is Buddhist." "Oh," I said, "that's wonderful. Keep it in the family," I always say. "So wonderful." "Now," I said, "I'm so happy I met you today." "Well," he says, "why are you so happy?" "Well," I said, "I've looked everywhere to find a Buddhist person who is keeping the 319 laws of the Buddha and is on their way to Nirvana, and I'll bet you're him." Now, he's in the front and I'm in the back. I'm looking at the mirror and seeing his face. It was a shock. All of a sudden, he begins to laugh and he said, "Oh, I don't keep the 319 laws of the Buddha." I said, "You don't?" "No," he said. I said, "Why not?" He said, "Nobody can." I said, "Nobody can do it?" "No. And you don't do it?" "No, no," he said, I don't do it." "Oh," I said, "I'm afraid you're on the way to hell." Now understand that in Buddhism, they have a heaven and a hell, but they're both temporary. The heaven is where you have lived a good life and you've earned lots of karma, and so you are rewarded after your death in a place called heaven. And you'll exist there for a while until you're reincarnated back into some other form, and then you have another go at it. Hell is the same way. You are punished for a time in a place, and then you are reincarnated back to come back as a lower form than you were to begin with. So you could be a rabbit or a skunk or who knows what. In all of the Buddhist temples, they have pictorials of the Buddhist hell. Plucking out the eyes, sawing people in half, pulling their arms off. I mean, it's horrific. Every Buddhist knows about the hell and they're scared of it. 28 levels of existence, and that's the worst one you can have. So I said to this man, I said, "You don't keep the laws of the Buddha." "No," he says, "I don't. No, nobody can." I said, "I think you're on your way to the hell." "Oh," he said, "I think I am." I said, "A good place or a bad place?" "Oh," he says, "it's a bad place." I said, "You don't want to go there." "No, I don't want to go there." "But you don't keep the laws of the Buddha." "No, I don't." "Oh," I said, "you're in trouble. What are you going to do?" He said, "I don't know." So I said, "Tell me this. What laws of the Buddha do you break?" "Well," he said, "I lie." "Ooh," I said, "that's bad." I said, "Well, who do you lie to?" He said, "I lie to my customers." "I'm a customer." "Oh," I said, "that's bad." And so we went on to have a discussion. I said, "If I could tell you how you could avoid the hell and never be reincarnated to come back again, would you be interested in knowing?" He said, "Do you know?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Oh," he said, "please tell me." And so for the rest of the trip, beginning with God and creation, I worked my way through to the death and resurrection of Christ. And when I was done, he said, "I've never heard anything like this in all of my life." He said, "I must think about this." And I left him with a prayer to consider what God had done for him. Sometimes it's just humorous, and you have to laugh. And sometimes it's really sad. Did you know that more than 240 million people worldwide are without a Bible in their language? You can learn another language. I've done that. Many of you may have done that. But when it comes to reading something really important, you're going to come back to what? English. It's the same for them. They maybe know the trade language of a country, but it would be their second language, not their heart language. And 240 million people don't have that in their language. Did you know that 58% of the world's population remains unreached with the gospel? I stood on a street corner in Southeast Asia and was handing out the Jesus film in the language of that country. A girl was so excited to receive it from me. She said, oh, this is wonderful. She said, thank you so much. Oh, she said, Yeshu. Is he an American? The name Jesus, Yeshu, is he an American? Did you know that 50-some percent of the world has never even heard the name Jesus? Did you know this past year that the USA spent more money on pet costumes for Halloween than Christians did on missions? The Mormons claim to have 17 million members worldwide. The Southern Baptists claim to have 12 to 14 million Southern Baptists in America. Mormons have 52,000 missionaries, and between the IMB and North American Mission Board, Southern Baptists have fewer than 8,000. Sometimes it's sad. Did you know that 80% of all Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims will be born and die without ever having met a Christian? Let me repeat that. 80% of all Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims will be born and die without ever having met a Christian, let alone hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of work to do, don't we? I want you to come on a journey with me. Are you up for it? Now it's going to be hot. I'm telling you, it's going to be hot. You just need to know that ahead. We're going to go on a little journey. And you don't mind if I take four national partners with me, do you? You see, these guys are all followers of Jesus, and they're evangelists, but they didn't come out of Buddhism or Hinduism. They don't know anything about that worldview. They're afraid, actually, to approach them because they don't know what to say. So I'm going to take them on a little field trip today. Okay if I take them? All right. Well, I want you to come along with me. Now, we're going to come down the street here. Oh, by the way, can you see that white building way down at the end of the street there? Can you see that? Yeah. That's the Hindu temple. That's where we're going this morning. I want these guys to learn the worldview of a Hindu. I want them to understand how they see the world around them and how their religion paints their life. Now, you can walk along, but shh, don't talk, okay? We have to be respectful and quiet. Oh, by the way, when we get to the entrance, you're going to have to take your shoes and socks off. I know. You don't do that in America, but that's what we do here. So you're going to have to take your shoes and socks or your sandals off and leave them at the front door. Nobody's going, no, they're not going to steal them. They'll be there when you come back out. Don't worry. All right, we're going in. Oh, now over here, do you see that image with all those arms? Why, that's the Brahma. That's the God of creation. And there's another one over there. Do you see that one? Well, that's the image of Vishnu. And Vishnu is the preserver god. And the one in the corner, right over there, that's Shiva. That's the destroyer god. You better stay away from that one. You see all the candles around that have been offered? You see all of the idols? Oh, here comes a man. What was that? Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Oh, We just come. We're interested in learning about Buddhism, and I brought my friends. Is that okay? Yes. Oh, fine. Suddenly he disappears. And we're just standing there in the middle of this temple. A few minutes later, he reappears, and now he's dressed in his priestly garb. He's the priest. He said, follow me. And so we all get in line. Now, be real quiet here. We don't agree with Hinduism, I understand that, but we have to be respectful. Okay, we're walking toward the front. Up in the front, you see an altar. and there's something sitting on the right-hand side and then a little bit over here and a few steps. And so the priest begins to walk up the steps. And when he gets to the top, he reaches over and he grabs a horn. Do you see the horn? And he turns around and he blows the horn three times. And then he puts the horn back. He walks up in front of the altar. He grabs the two handles on the door and he slides them open. And there is the Brahma God. And he goes on to explain, and we're listening to all of the worldview of Hinduism. When he gets done, we ask some questions. We say, well, what was that about? Well, why did you do that? And so I said to him, I said, now, when you got to the top, you blew the horn three times, and then you opened the door, and there was the God. I said, why did you do that? And he said, to wake up the God. I said, that's a very interesting thing. I said, may I tell you about the God whom we serve? He said, yes, that's okay. And I said, I want to tell you about the one who never sleeps and never slumbers. I want to tell you about the great spirit who created everything around us and who made you and wants you to know him. And let me talk. We left there with a Hindu priest wondering, what did I just hear? I want you to come with me to a park in Indonesia. Jeannie and I were regional leaders for all of our IMB work from China to New Zealand. Over 1,000 missionary families. What an incredible treat to see what God is doing in all those locations. One of Indonesia. We're walking along just looking for some people to talk to. Noticed a man standing there, and so we stopped. And I said to him, oh, I said, I'm just a visitor here, just a tourist. I said, I see a magnificent building back there. Could you tell me what it is? He said, that's a Muslim mosque. Oh, I said, well. So I said, are you Muslim? Yes, he said, I'm Muslim. Oh, I said, well, I said, I'm, of course, a follower of Yeshu, of Jesus. And I said, but I don't know that much about Islam. Could you tell me? And so he began to explain about Islam and tell me about, you know, this and that. And he told me that there's 100 names for the God of Islam. 99 names are known, but one is hidden in the mouth of the camel. And so nobody knows that one because he's not talking. And I listened to him very respectfully as we talked. Then I said to him, now I said, I don't know much. But he said, seemed to me I was reading some Islamic writings. And in the writing it said that Jesus, whom you say is a prophet, is going to come back one day and he alone, will judge the world. Is that correct? Yes, he said, that's correct. But I said, you deem Muhammad to be the great prophet. Yes, he said, that's correct. I said, do you fear Muhammad? He says, yes, I do. I said, do you fear Jesus? He said, no, I don't. Now I said, I'm just a tourist, but I just wonder, doesn't it make more sense to fear the one who will judge you in the end than the one who won't? And we went on to talk about who Jesus really was. Sometimes it's just amazing. I want you to come with me to Thailand. This will be the experience of your life. We're going to attend a funeral, a Buddhist funeral. You see the crowd that's gathered? I'm going to ask why this person died. Oh, my goodness. A young husband bitten by a cobra in his rice field. He's died. I want you to be very quiet and just listen to the crowd. Do you hear it? The wailing. Do you hear the women? The deep, guttural weeping. Do you hear it? They're standing by the body of the one who has died, and they are weeping as those who have no hope. Suddenly the crowd parts. Here come the Buddhist monks. They're swinging the lanterns with incense. They're walking through the crowd, and there's a great hush. All you can hear now is the silent weeping of the women. As they walk by chanting, here is what they say. Dead, never to rise, asleep, never to awaken, gone, never to return. Can you imagine attending a funeral of your loved one? Can you imagine a young wife with two small children standing in the crowd and listening to the Buddhist monk say, he is dead, never to return. He is asleep, never to awaken. He is gone, never to rise. Do you wonder why we send missionaries? Because the world is like that. Hopelessness permeates the world. The Muslim wonders, what will Allah do? Everything is his decision. What will he do? Will it be heaven or hell for me? I don't know. The Hindu prays to 250 million gods, hoping to find some kind of favor. The Buddhist drops flowers in front of the Buddha image in hopes of doing good deeds that will outweigh their bad deeds. And maybe they don't have to be reincarnated 500 times. That's the world. It is to these people that your missionaries go. But sometimes, it's amazing. I was teaching a group of evangelists and pastors. During the break, one of them came to me and said, do you see that young man in the back? I said, yeah, I see him. He said, you should talk to him. He has quite a story. So, during the break, I went back. Now, we're sitting in a bamboo hut. It's 113 in the shade. We are doing, as they say in the Burmese, chui twete. We are chewing our sweat. I go back and sit by the young man. I say, I understand you have got a story. I said, my name is Seya Dun. What is your name? He said, Narinda. I said, Narinda, I'm so happy to meet you. I understand you have a story. Would you tell me? Yes, he said. He said, until just a few months ago, I was a Buddhist monk. I said, what happened? He said, I grew up in a monastery as a novice monk. My family couldn't afford to feed me, and so they put me in the monastery. It's all I've ever known. I'm 27 years of age. One day I'm walking down the street. Every morning they take a bowl, and they carry it like this, and they take the sandals off of their feet to show their humility, and they walk down the street, and people will be standing there, and they'll put rice in there or other types of food, because a Buddhist monk can only eat breakfast and lunch. After 12 noon, he can't eat. And they can't work to create a sweat, so they must depend on society to feed them. So that's what he's doing. He's going out to collect food. Then they will all bring it back to the monastery and they'll all share together. Well, on this particular morning, he's walking along. And he said, I wasn't paying attention. I stepped off the street into the path of a car. It hit me and it threw me into the street. And when I tried to get up, I couldn't. People gathered me up and they got a taxi to take me to the hospital for Buddhist monks. Yeah, they have hospitals just for Buddhist monks. When I got there, he said, I was in a great deal of pain. My hip was hurting very bad. He said they took me in and they took an x-ray. A doctor came back out and he said, Narendra, I am so sorry. Your hip is so badly shattered, we have to amputate. Narendra said, I was so afraid. I took out my beads and I began to call on the Buddha to help me in my fear. I called on the Buddha to help me in this life. I kept praying to the Buddha. They finally put me in a room and gave me something for the pain. And he said, and I finally fell asleep. But in my sleep, I had a dream. Now he and I are sitting in the back of the little room where I've been teaching all day, just he and I. He's telling me his story. He said, in my sleep I had a dream. He said, a man came into my room, a different man than I ever met before. He walked up to my bed and he looked down at me with very unusual eyes. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, little monk, don't be afraid. They won't amputate. I will heal you. And he said he just stood over me and he just looked at me. And finally he turned around and he walked to the door. And when he got to the door, he stopped and he said, my name is Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you what he told me. He said, Mr. Duane, I didn't understand. I'd never heard the name Jesus or Yeshu before. I didn't know what to say. And then he was gone. During the night, he said, I began to feel warmth in my leg. By morning, I had feeling in my leg, and when they came to prep me for surgery, my leg was completely healed. He said, the doctor came to me and said, the x-rays showed this when you came in yesterday, and the x-ray today shows this. Can you explain? Narendra said, a man came into my room last night. His name was Yeshu. He said he would heal me. And obviously he did. The doctor said, I don't know this man. I've never heard this name Jesus before. So I don't know what to tell you, but there's nothing wrong. You might as well just go on home. And so Narendra went back to the Buddhist monastery. He's back out on the street one day, walking along, when a man comes up to him. And the man begins to talk to him about God. Narendra said, he began to talk to me about God, but I didn't understand, what does he mean, God? What's the God? Because in Buddhism, there is no God. What's the God? He said, I couldn't understand. And then he told me that God had a son whose name was Jesus. And Narendra said, I stopped him. I said, I don't understand about the God, but I know this man, Jesus. He healed me. Tell me about him. And the unnamed Christian who took his life in his hands because it is illegal under death penalty to try to convert a Buddhist monk. He shared the gospel with a Buddhist monk, and when he was done, Narendra said, I want to follow Jesus. He healed me. And they went down to the marketplace where he took off his orange robes and left them and put on civilian clothes and went to live with this man 3 months before, who was now mentoring him and discipling him in the faith he had come to embrace. And Narendra went on to become an evangelist to Buddhist monks. What is it like to be a missionary? Well, sometimes it's humorous, and sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's amazing, but it's always glorious. God is at work in ways we can't imagine, often stepping into the physical things of life, and there's a miracle. God walking before you and coming behind you. I am not a charismatic. I'm simply telling you what I have seen. And every time I have seen a miracle like that or a dream of a sort, it is preceded by a gospel witness, or a gospel witness follows it. God doesn't just do something to do something. As you're thinking about your missionaries, I want you to pray for them. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes it's so hot, Jeannie and I would throw water on the tile floor and lay down because we had no electricity. And it's 113 in the shade. How do you sleep? What do you do if you have small children? What do you do? What do you do when you get arrested and accused of being a CIA spy? What do you do when you are held at gunpoint by some national and their army? What do you do? These things happen to us. And they've happened to Jeannie and I. Pray for your missionaries. Now I just want to ask a question. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? Do you understand the life changes he can make for you, having died for you? Are you serving the purpose of God today? I saw on the heading of your bulletin this morning, and I think it's wonderful. Loving and serving, witnessing, wonderful. You have a team out today on mission field. Awesome. Keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing for new opportunities. We walk past them every day, we just don't see them. Ask God to do something that only God can do, and you'll be amazed at how that'll go. Can I tell you one more story, or do you want to go home? Up to you. We had some volunteers come to Indonesia to work with Muslims. Now, missionaries sometimes refrain from doing certain things because if we get caught, we get kicked out. And then all the years of experience and language learning is gone. But you come as a volunteer. You're only going to be there for a week as a tourist. Government's not going to bother you unless you get involved in politics. So you can do sometimes things that we don't want to do, and you can do it amazingly well. Well, these two volunteers arrived, and we plotted on the map what we wanted them to do. We want you to go down this road, it'll be identified, and then turn and go down this road, and that'll be identified, and then you'll take a curve over here, and then you'll walk down this road, and at the end of it, you will find a house, and a man will be waiting for you there. And then he will go with you as you begin to share the gospel with Muslim people. And so the two men went. Down the road they go, made this curve, did that, turned right, left, and so on. Come to the final road, or what they think is the final road anyway, and coming toward them is a man. And so as this man approaches, he has a big smile on his face, and so they say hi, assuming this is the man they were to meet. And he says, oh, he said, I'm so glad to see you. Come and drink tea at my home. So many people are hospitable around the world, just invite strangers in to have tea. And so they go to his home to have tea. And he says to them, I've been waiting all morning for you. Well, they said, didn't they tell you we were coming? No, he said, nobody told me. He said, I've just been waiting all morning for you. And they began to mention some names, and he didn't know any of those names. And so now they're wondering, who is this guy and why are we here? And so they said, well, why were you waiting for us? He said, because last night I had a dream, and in my dream, a man in white flowing gowns said, two men from the west will be walking down your street in the morning. I want you to invite them to your home and talk with them. They have an important message to tell you. Well, now if you're the volunteer, the brown hair has suddenly turned white. And you're thinking, this isn't where we thought we were going, and it's not who we were supposed to talk to, but God is doing something here. And so they began to tell the gospel story to this man, beginning at creation, going all the way through to the death and resurrection of Christ. And when they're done, they say, would you like to become a follower of Jesus? And the man says, no, but he said, I did really enjoy your story. And so they said, could we pray for you? And so they prayed for this man. And then they leave, walking back up the street, figuring out how are we going to find where we're supposed to be. Now, they hadn't gotten very far. A young man comes out from behind the house, and he comes running up to them. He introduces himself, and he says, I wasn't in the room when you were talking about Jesus to my uncle. But he said, I was listening in the other room. And I heard all that you said, and my heart began to burn in me. He said, I want you to tell me more. And so they shared the gospel with this young man again. And when they were done, this young man said, I thought so. I will become a follower of Jesus this day. And so he followed him all the way down, and they introduced him to the missionaries, who later baptized him and began to mentor him. And because of this young man, there's a movement to Christ among Muslims in that district of Indonesia where there were never Christians before. They walked down the wrong street, talked to the wrong man, but in the providence of God, serving the purpose of God, they led a young man to the Lord who would become an evangelist to his own people. And you think God's not doing anything. Oh, but he is. Folks, I just hope you've got a better picture of what God's doing around the world and what your missionaries are doing out there. And perhaps God will open new avenues for you to serve him and his purpose in this generation. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for all that you're doing in this world. Even when it doesn't appear anything is happening, you're working behind the scenes. Even when as missionaries we almost think, I wasted my life, what purpose was there? Only to find one or two generations later a great movement beginning because of what you did. And Father, I thank you for this church, for their interest in missions. I pray for their team that's in Puerto Rico. Would you give them opportunity to share the gospel and then to encourage the believers? And Father, would you add to this church and their revitalization program? Would you draw people to the sweet testimony that they have here and to all that they're trying to do for you? Lord, would you help them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tim will be right up here at front.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Savior, Jesus, let the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth open. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Let your something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Mr. Savior, Jesus, let the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Let us pray as we leave this place today. Father God, we know everyone in here knows there's something special about that name. Father, it's a name above all names. Father, as we leave these doors today, help us take Jesus out of these doors, out into this world, Father, that needs to hear about him, Father. Help that be our sole mission, Father, as we leave and go out into the mission field, Father, that let us tell them something about our Jesus, Father. Help us do that. Help that be our main goal this week and each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.